persecution does not last forever. Even if it goes on for 50 years, it will come to an end one day. So my hope as a Christian is, if I live, I will do good to all people and bring the gospel's influence in the land where the Lord has put me. If I die, I'll go to be with the Lord. But before I die, I will train many more people to do good, not to render evil for evil, but to invest their lives in the gospel and to lay down their lives for the gospel to save one life.
Well, here on UCB, I'm pleased to welcome Andrew Boyd, a good friend from Release International, who, well, he's written many books, but his latest one is called Neither Bomb Nor Bullet, Benjamin Kwashi, Archbishop on the Front Line. It's good to have you with us, Andrew.
Thanks, lovely to be with you.
We're about to talk about a very remarkable man who has survived some brutal persecution, but by those who know him, time and time again, you hear he's a man who truly lives out the gospel. But before we explore more about his story, I wonder if in just a few key words, you can reflect on his character, having got to know him so well writing this biography.
He's an absolute joy. The man's a huge pleasure to be with. He's very bright, very gregarious, very engaging. He has a huge laugh. And he loves to laugh. He loves people. He's a humble man. And he's a real friend. And I've come to know him. And I respect him enormously. And I like him a great deal. And I think most people who meet him can't fail to like this man. He's got no pretensions. What he has got is an incredibly powerful living faith and a great depth of humanity. And he puts the two together in a way that just inspires you to live your own life to the full.
Despite everything he's been through, he has an incredible smile that you can see in the pictures included in the book. We should say the book, of course, published by Lion Hudson, if you want to find out more about it. Let's just hear him talking a little bit more, first of all, about links with us here in the UK.
The same gospel that we preach today in Nigeria was brought to us by missionaries from the United Kingdom. Most of them died, and their graves are with us. I will not betray that trust. And my life now is worth nothing if I'm not preaching and living the gospel, whether in Nigeria or anywhere the Lord puts me. And I want to ask the Christians in the United Kingdom to remember the histories of their parents and grandparents who laid down their lives to take this same gospel to all over the world.
And so, Andrew, those childhood links then to the legacy of not only British colonials but UK missionaries. Tell us a bit about his childhood, because obviously so often that is a definitive time that people grow from.
Well, if you'd have looked at Ben Kwashi when he was a little boy, you'd have just seen trouble, because that's all he was. He was a mischief and got into all kinds of trouble. But his compassion, and he has a very powerful sense of compassion, began fairly early when, as a young kid, he saw Muslim kids who were at the madrasa being sent out into the streets to get whatever food they could by begging. And he took pity on them, and he used to steal the food from his parents' table and take it out to these kids. And then, because Ben is a natural leader and very gregarious, even though he's a small kid himself, he used to go out shouting around the households, pretending to be one of them and getting food for them. And he even managed to get himself into the madrasa at one point. This is a Muslim school, and listen to what they were saying. So he's grown up with Muslims. He has a real heart for them. And you can see all this incredible mischief. I mean, let me just give you a quote. This is what he got up to. I fell out of a tree. I tattooed my body. I stuffed a peanut up my nose and kept it there for days until it began to germinate. I even managed to break open a young man's head. Not just any young man, mind you. He was a prince. So Ben got into all kinds of trouble. He was from a royal family himself, and they just despaired of him. They said, how are you living? This is not the way you're supposed to live. And he became more and more rebellious, joined the army, which was probably in some ways the making of him, but It was out there on the streets looking for all the world like a cross between James Brown and Mick Jagger. He was a Jimi Hendrix fan as well. That he met a very square man, as he described him, who was also in the army, who was an evangelist who was preaching on the streets. And Ben just struck a pose and gave the man a hard time, but this man led him to Christ in a way that completely, totally changed his life.
This man was called Dominic. Wasn't the first time he heard the gospel, though, was it? Because his grandmother was a passionate believer.
Yes, his grandmother seems to be a really remarkable woman with a huge connection with God. She'd prayed over him. And just a message of encouragement to every grandparent out there who looks at the kids and thinks, what's going to become of them? You never know. You keep praying for them. God listens to your prayers. Yeah, she prayed for him. There was a Christian background in the family, but this was a young rebel who eventually became very, very soundly a Christian. He's still a rebel in many ways.
So was it quite a definitive choice then between military or ministry?
He loved being a soldier. He absolutely loved it. He describes the sound of a Kalashnikov rifle as a kind of music. So he enjoyed all of that. But there came a day after he'd become a Christian when just the sheer noise of it, the shouting, the yelling, the swearing that goes on, he just knew that that was past, that was not his future. And he felt a call of God on his life to the ministry, which his mother just couldn't believe. She said, Ben, Christians are supposed to be gentle. If you go into the church, you're going to discredit the church. Really, is this really what you want to do? And it was. And of course, now he's the Archbishop of Jos in Nigeria, which is very much the front line of faith with Boko Haram and Fulani militants. And he's a senior figure in GAFCON, the Global Anglican Future Conference. So he's been described as one of the most influential Christians alive now.
And certainly in his early days, he spent part of his ministry actually here in the UK as well.
Yes, when he was on placement in Cambridge, he encountered a great deal of racism. And that was a bit of a surprise to him. He's not got a chip on his shoulder about all of this, but he recognises that racism is always the other person's problem. That's his view. He says, it's not my problem. It's not going to be my problem. If it's your problem, then deal with it. But I'm not going to hold it against you. But yes, he faced a fair bit of that in the UK. And also in Nigeria, there's the colonial legacy. And a lot of the students, when he was training for the ministry, were studying liberation theology. And there was a lot of anger and a sense of, let's kick off the shackles, let's break the chains, let's rise up. And Ben absolutely adamantly opposed that in his classes. He stood out against it. He said, you can't go down the route of violence because violence just leads to more violence. And even today, although he's in a place where at times he says he buries more people than he marries or christens in Nigeria because of the violence there, but he will stand against retaliation. It's not his way, and he doesn't believe it's God's way.
And as a result, him and his wonderful wife, Gloria, they have been targeted over the years.
Yes, at least three times, he's been targeted for assassination. The first of those was in 1987 when Muslim militants, started attacking in the area that he was. They burnt his home. In 2006, acting on intelligence, which was faulty, they believed he was at home with his wife. Actually, he'd been delayed in the UK for a day. And they couldn't find him. They broke into his house and they absolutely brutally attacked his wife, which was probably the darkest night of his soul, finding out that they'd taken out on her what they'd intended for him. She recovered, though, amazingly. And the assassins then returned in 2007 and were set to kill him. In fact, he was saying his last prayers. Then, quite remarkably, God delivered them in the most extraordinary and inexplicable way. These assassins just melted away. So three times he's faced that. And what it's done is it's concentrated the mind a great deal. So what he said about that is that I don't know how long my life is going to be. It could be shorter, it could be long, but however long or short my life is, every day I'm going to live it to the full for the gospel. And that's his message. That's his message to us. That's his message to Nigeria. And that's his inspiration as well to Release International. He's a partner of Release. Release works with the persecuted church. Ben works with them. He's a man who's very, very focused, very determined that every minute of his life is going to count. And yet, he doesn't act like a man on a mission. He acts like a man with a great sense of humour. It's a good combination.
There are many more stories we could draw out today, from their work as a couple with orphans that they house in their home, to the cults and corruption that he's had to deal with as well. But I wonder whether we can close on a thought about the distrust, the suspicions that there are between Christians and Muslims in the country, and how he sees the future of Nigeria, because for him, he's spoken of the gospel being the hope for the country.
Yes, he certainly does see the gospel as the hope for the country. His isn't a sentimental faith. It's not just wishful thinking. This is a man who understands that on Christians there's a prophetic calling to speak truth to power, and there's a huge risk that goes with that. He's spoken to presidents. He's been critical of presidents of Nigeria. He's been under investigation himself. And he's fully aware that when God wants to take him, God will take him, and actually he's come to the point where he's no longer bothered by that at all. But the gospel is certainly the hope for Nigeria, and it's not just a gospel of words, it's a gospel of deeds. So in everything he's done, he's planted congregations, seen them grow incredibly dramatically. It's because he always combines the truth, an uncompromising truth of the gospel, with ministering to people at their most practical point of need. Things like sanitation, water, businesses, helping people get out of poverty. The gospel is not just about our souls, it's about the whole human being. It certainly is about our eternal destiny, but it's also about the way we live now and the way we choose to love now. And he's a man who lives life to the full and loves people to the full. And as it says in Psalms, he raises the poor and needy from the ash heap and seats them among the princes, even the princes of their people. That's a psalm that will be very dear to Ben Kwashi, and that's something that he's worked out in his ministry to Nigeria. And his message to the UK is, Britain, remember that you sent missionaries around the world, and the world owes you a debt of gratitude for that, and he really means that. Remember those days, and could you imagine that those days could come again when what really matters to you is actually seeing the gospel spread around the world? He does his part. He's raising up missionaries himself who will be sent around the world, including to the UK. But his call to us is really to remember our roots.
For you, Andrew, as a journalist and author, was that at the heart of why you wanted to capture his story for those who were yet to hear of the many achievements down the decades?
It began for me when I first met him, which was I was covering some years back for Release International, attacks by people who were the forerunners of the Boko Haram terrorist group in Maiduguri. I saw terrible things, and I went to interview him, and it was at his bishop's place. He was in his football kit. It was pouring with rain. He gave me an interview, and he totally disarmed me by saying, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. We are so grateful that you're allowing the Nigerian people's voices to be heard. That really struck a chord with me, and I'm so glad now in this book, Neither Bomb Nor Bullet, which is about nothing can separate us from the love of God, actually having that opportunity to give this man's voice a hearing, because I think he truly is a very remarkable man doing a remarkable thing, and he has a message which is not just for Nigeria, but it is for the whole world.
And my life now is worth nothing if I'm not preaching and living the gospel, whether in Nigeria or anywhere the Lord puts me. And I want to ask the Christians in the United Kingdom to remember the histories of their parents and grandparents who laid down their lives to take this same gospel to all over the world.
He speaks brilliantly and eloquently, and it's been a joy, and I hope it'll be a blessing to many people who read it.
Well, Andrew, we always appreciate your time, and we thank you for writing this inspiring biography. It's called Neither Bomb Nor Bullet, Benjamin Kwashi, Archbishop on the Frontline, by Andrew Boyd, published by Lion Hudson. Thank you, Andrew.
Vicky, thank you so much.